Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
I feel like the biggest difference was for you and your group, you know, week two compared to week one.
Yeah, I think there's a little fire under us. I think kind of week one, you're kind of anticipating what's this like, kind of new team, new guys. And week two, you want to get back at it. And, you know, no, we didn't put our best football out there week one. So just kind of mindset of kind of what we can do and just trying to bring it. Every week, and you know, still things to learn from on the tape and areas to improve, and just think just a little fire under us, and hopefully we bring that this Sunday.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get you the week in review coming up at 12:45. You got them?
They got them. They're ready. They've been resting all week.
Keefe's keys to week three, Pats and Steelers at 1 o'clock. Mike Mwenu going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour as well, so stay tuned for it here on a Patriots Friday. Real quick, we talked about some of our thoughts on the game and Vrabel versus Tomlin, May versus Rodgers. We didn't really highlight that answer from May. We played it for you off the top of the show at 10. I like that he said we had a little fire under us after week one.
Yeah,
and I don't quite know what he means. He said it a couple of different times in that press conference yesterday, press conference Wednesday. But I like that answer because I don't know if that's, hey, we watched the film and we didn't like what we saw, which I'd be fine with. I don't know if it's pushing back against outside noise, media, fans, etc. But I'd be fine with that too. But they know what they did week one wasn't satisfactory. They knew they had to go out there and turn it around quickly, and they did. So hopefully the opposite of that isn't, well, we had a good week, now let's ease off. Let's read our press clippings, if you will. Hopefully they keep that fire going to shut people up. But that they definitely did that last week because I was feeling pretty uneasy about the offense after 1 week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know how you couldn't be, but they looked a whole lot better. And it's sort of like, all right, you had one bad game. If you're going to just simplify it, one bad game, one good game. Still a lot of season left to be played. Nobody's going to be all that fired up after a 1-1 start. What do you do with it going forward? And kind of build off of that. I mean, Drake May, you can count the great games he's played in the NFL on one hand. And you have room.
I don't think you need the whole hand.
You don't need the whole hand. Yeah. You might need a finger. And I won't tell you which. But no, like that's the thing. Is like you need to be able to build off of that. And, you know, when he was asked even about like, hey, did you shut people up? It's like, I mean, for a game.
Yeah, for 1 week.
Because the NFL, though, like, that's the thing. Like, Daniel Jones has looked great for two straight weeks. And, like, there's a bunch of quarterbacks you can point to and be like, well, is this what this guy really is?
This is what makes a great quarterback. I'm not even talking an all-time great. But, like, this is what will make a great quarterback in the modern NFL or, like, within a season. Can you do it every week? I mean, a quarterback like Geno Smith can come out week one and flash.
Yeah, most of the guys in the league are capable of that.
And guys can flash with a play here and there all the time. Caleb Williams is like a great example of this.
if you just watch
the highlights of Caleb Williams, you're like, oh my God, he's incredible. But if you watch him for a full game, you're like, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can flash for a couple of plays. Anybody can flash for a week here or there. Can you do it consistently? And that's going to be the challenge for Drake May. What he's done through 2 weeks is what a lot of quarterbacks do. There's nothing special about that.
Right.
You look good 1 week, you look bad the next. Or I guess the opposite order for him. You're bad the first week, you're really good the next. A lot of quarterbacks do that. A lot of quarterbacks that we hate and think are no good. Mac does that. Mac just had a great week a week ago.
Oh, Mac Jones. Yeah, he's got, he's only played one game. Everybody else has played two. The guys last night have now played three. But if you just do like quarterback rating, from his one game, he's in the top five in the NFL. But so nobody thinks he's a top five quarterback because there's no way he's going to be able to keep that up.
There's nothing special about what May did. It was a really good game,
yeah.
But there's nothing special about it. What's special about it is repeating it. And he can start that this week, or in 2 days, rather, against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but in order to repeat it, it's really not just him. You know, it's going to be, does Ramondre Stevenson and Trevion Henderson have a big game? Like, do those guys, because I don't think Drake May's at the point yet where, you know, obviously, every quarterback's job is a lot easier if the running game is going, right? But then there are another group of quarterbacks where you're like, hey, they're stopping the run today, but we have Josh Allen, we have Joe Burrow, we have Patrick Mahomes, we have whatever. Like, yeah, it's ideal, but if you don't have it, you could still win. What's Drake May in? And so if you want to just make his whole job a lot easier, if those guys have another big game, then I love their chances on Sunday. If Ramondre and Henderson are averaging, you know, 4+ yards per carry and they're picking up big gainers on first down, then yeah, Drake May's going to be in a great spot. But if it looks more like it did against Vegas, is he, and then this is where we get into the conversation of, you know, how much time does he have to throw? Are his receivers getting open? Are those guys doing anything once they get it? That all comes into play. But if they run the ball effectively, I have a lot of confidence in Drake May.
No, and I've said this a couple of times. I said it earlier today. I said it yesterday or Wednesday as well, but I'd expect a big Trevion Henderson game. And, you know, Ramondre had the big game last week. The backs who have done well, Kenneth Walker, 13 for 105 and a touchdown last week. Week one, it was Breece Hall, 19 for 107. Henderson is that kind of back. He is an elusive, explosive back, which I don't think Stevenson is, although he looked pretty elusive and explosive last week.
Yeah, seriously.
But I would expect this to be a big Trevion Henderson week this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you guys can discuss how you're feeling about it. Keith, you're picking them.
I am.
I'm picking them in the game this weekend. I know we both expect a lot of points.
Yeah,
too.
I like the over. So it's 44.5 right now. Patriots are like a 1.5 dog. So you might as well take them on the money line. And then I would expect big points. I mean, the Steelers have given up over 30 in both games they've played, and neither one was against a great offense. So I would think that continues.
I would say this too, and maybe this sounds dumb, but I prefer the Patriots in a shootout. Like, if it's a lower scoring game, I don't know that I prefer the Patriots this weekend.
Well, I also don't have a great deal of confidence necessarily in their defense to have a low scoring close game. So, like, I think they're going to be giving up points.
But let's say the game is, what'd you say the over is, 44?
Yep. 44,
say the game's 27-24 or something like that. I like the Patriots' chances in that game more than 13-10. Like, if it's that level of game, I don't think I like the Patriots' chances.
Yeah. And then, yeah, at that point, if it's like a low-scoring game,
is it weird to take May in a shootout over Rodgers when you're at home?
I don't know. I mean, Rodgers, I guess, technically won a shootout week one.
He did.
And then this past week, I mean, the Seahawks scored a bunch of points, but they didn't. So, I don't know. Rodgers, we were talking about how he hasn't had a 300-yard, or he's had one 300-yard game in like 5 years or something insane like that. For a guy that you just think is still, or you think is really good, and he has like the resume, and threw a bunch of touchdowns last year, but he has thrown a few more picks than he normally does. He had some seasons where it'd be like 2, 3, 4, 5 picks.
Oh,
last year was double digits.
And people were saying at the end of his tenure in Green Bay that he just wasn't.
He purposely wouldn't throw.
Yeah. He wasn't even throwing anywhere near coverage because he wanted to artificially keep his interception numbers down.
Well, he has the greatest quarterback rating in the history of the NFL. So he still has some of that going for him. He threw the 4 touchdowns in week one, but I don't know. Who do you think is in a better spot if they have the ball late with a chance to win it?
Okay, if you ask it that way, that might be Rodgers, because May's never done it. So I shouldn't say that might be Rodgers. That is Rodgers.
Just because we've seen him do it.
May's
done
it.
I've seen Rodgers complete like 10 Hail Marys. Yeah. Like, Rodgers has a knack about
it. If it's one possession, which quarterback would I rather have with the ball? The answer to that is Rodgers. Yeah.
Right. So like, if you're watching it and Rodgers has the ball, I would be like a little bit concerned. Whereas if Drake May had the ball, I would also be concerned, but for a different reason.
Correct.
Like, I don't know if they're going to go 75 yards down the field right now and score when they have to.
I just said May's never done it. I'm sure people are like, well, he did it against Tennessee. Kind of. He forced overtime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then they got there and he threw a terrible pop fly pick. So yeah, May's not. I mean, for that specific answer, my answer would be Rodgers.
Yeah.
But in a vacuum, who am I taking on Sunday? I'd take May over Rodgers.
So I still think Rodgers right now is the better quarterback. I think Drake May is coming off a great week, but it's hard for me to like fully anoint him. I already said going in he was better than Geno Smith. I thought he was better than Tua even, But I don't know about Aaron Rodgers just yet. I know Rodgers isn't the same guy that he once was. Similar to like Steph Diggs isn't the same guy he once was. But it doesn't mean Steph Diggs isn't the best receiver on the Patriots, and it doesn't mean that Rodgers isn't the best quarterback on the field Sunday.
So I would go May, and I know when we did
I think it's up for debate, though.
And again, the way you said it, like you need one quarterback to win a game on Sunday is the closest I would be on that answer, but I would still
like,
take May.
2-minute drill if you're answering Rodgers. I know there's more to the game. There's 58 other minutes.
No, I would answer Rodgers for 2-minute drill. For just Sunday, I think it's close. I'd go May. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the year, I'd go May. Obviously, long-term, you go May.
That's not even up for a debate.
But when we did our tiers, and that was a different question than the one we're talking about,
yeah.
Who would you take Sunday? When we did our tiers, we had Aaron Rodgers bottom tier, somebody's got to start. We had Drake May in a very large, like 10 quarterback tier, but right in the middle tier with a lot of fluctuation. I would take May over Rodgers.
Yeah, because the Rodgers thing got off to such a weird start. He was such a late signing. They had players on the team being like, well, either he wants to be here or he doesn't. We're not going to really recruit him. He was like playing like coy about it. Then he signs there, like, what is this going to look like? And then week one, he plays against his former team, and he throws 4 touchdowns. And he's like, oh, it was good to shut those guys up and show them I can still play. And then a step back in week two. But those like older guys, the guy he replaced, Russell Wilson, they're kind of hard to figure. And then especially at the time that we did it, we were tiering all quarterbacks for the
Russell
season.
Russell Wilson threw for 450 last week. Do we think Russell Wilson is good all of a sudden?
No, not anymore. But it's like, you certainly wouldn't want those guys for the long haul, and it's like one of those things where these teams have these agreements where they're like, all right, let's just try to maximize this season to the best of our ability, but we know we're going to be right back in the quarterback market next season. So, I mean, that's a tough way to go through.
Text message here, and this segues into Vrabel or Tomlin. You brought this up yesterday about the Arthur Smith connection with Vrabel in Pittsburgh. Does Vrabel have any advantage coaching against Arthur Smith?
I mean, we would always talk about this with Belichick, and he would lose to all of his assistants, all the scrubby assistants. Patricia beat him. McDaniels beat him. Who else beat him?
Mangini,
Flores. Didn't they? They all beat him.
Flores, good one. Yep.
I think they all. they all got the better of him. And you're like, well, he should know a ton about them. I know that there's like knowledge going both ways there, but I mean, he's not the head coach, right? Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator. He has gone up against Mike Tomlin 3 times head to head. We looked this up. Google AI told me twice.
It is 3.
Brandon in the car said 3. Brandon was right.
Oh, Brandon was very upset. Brandon texted back after his call and was very upset that we were throwing dirt on his take.
Yep.
It was really a stat, not a take. But
right.
But yeah, Vrabel is 0-3 head to head career against Tomlin.
Yeah, so 3 matchups, Steelers and Titans from like 5-6 years ago. It's something, right? Like it is when you're trying to break the tie between Tomlin and Vrabel, they've been on opposing sidelines 3 times, and the Steelers have gotten the better of them each time. But I think these guys are pretty similar. Did we tier head coaches? I forget if we did. We probably did.
They did. Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't they be in the same
tier? We definitely did. Vrabel was on his own tier, remember?
Oh, was he?
Hard and...
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, the Courtney tier, right?
Yeah, what was that called?
Something that she said.
Vrabel was on his own tier, which I imagine was if I had to... guess a notch above Tomlin. Yeah. I would take Vrabel over Tomlin.
All right, let me scroll through this and see if I could find it. Because
we answered this the other day as a would you rather. I would take Vrabel over Tomlin. I just feel like Tomlin is stale, worn out as welcome. This happens
with
a lot.
I never said he was soft. Yeah. I think he's as hard as they come.
Hard as they come. That
hard
was the Vrabel tier.
Tier.
Thank you. That's what it was.
Okay.
But with Tomlin, and this happens to a lot of good coaches. This happened with Bruce Cassidy, Claude Julien, Terry Francona, Doc Rivers, who's less of a good coach these days, but just with local guys.
No, but I mean, like, enough's enough.
At some point, the room just tunes you out, and I think that's what's going on with Tomlin. It's early to say that, but I think that's what's going on with Tomlin. I'd go Vrabel.
Yeah, I think we did have...
Vrabel over Tomlin.
No.
Did we not?
No, I think Vrabel... the tiers were the best around.
Yep.
The second tier was...
Tomlin was not best around.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. Hard as they come, it's all right, can't win with them, and first coach
right,
fired
if you want to crown them, crown their ass. It does actually make sense based on the name of the tier. That's where we put Tomlin.
So
yeah.
Tomlin was actually ahead of him.
Okay, got it.
But then again, Vrabel was a bit of a wild card there as his own tier.
At least as hard as they come.
But I think they're very similar, because Tomlin has...
I don't think either one's a great coach.
No.
I think, based on their career track record, Tomlin has accomplished more, obviously, duh. But, how they're... trending lately and the direction of where things are going, I would take Vrabel for today.
Well, Vrabel's...
But I think they are pretty similar.
They are similar. there's really no lows when it comes to Mike Tomlin. Like, that's the one thing that's pretty remarkable, is like he's never had a losing record. Obviously, the last couple of years in Tennessee, Mike Vrabel did. But Mike Vrabel also has a playoff win more recently than Tomlin.
Yeah, he's got two of them.
He's got two more recently than Tomlin, even though he got fired and had a, you know, he bottomed out 1 year. But
yeah, and I think the Patriots are a playoff team this year, and I don't think that about Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, Pats, I think you don't think this. And am I missing any updates today, actually?
What do we got?
They're practicing.
Full participation today. Okay, so, no, I don't know about limited and stuff, but like every player was at least on
the field. Yeah, no, I should have checked this earlier. So Gonzo is back out there today, full participation. Giardi.
Well, no. I don't know about full participation.
I'm just saying,
on the field.
I'm sorry. The team has full participation. I don't know about Gonzalez's participation.
Because he was limited yesterday and Wednesday.
That's what I meant to say. Everybody on the team is fully out there, is what I meant to say.
Yes.
Gonzalez will get the full update today. Giardi yesterday tweeted out a video of Gonzo, and he says that Gonzalez did take a rep, and you took note of this, Keith, in the shadow tackle drill.
Oh, yeah.
Which he did not do the day before.
You're speaking my language.
And then was a part of half-field chase-down drill with guys you would consider starters. So he was doing drills with the starters for the portion that the media was available to see. He was doing more yesterday than he did on Wednesday. Now, neither he nor Vrabel made it sound like he was definitively playing this weekend. I think we're going to see him. You don't.
I don't. I just think 7 weeks with a hamstring injury is obviously a very long time. Didn't practice at all leading into the Dolphins game. And then the first time we see him is Wednesday, and he has his awkward little back and forth. So we won't really get into whether he had a setback or not. But I just feel like if he had a setback, let's operate under the impression that he had a setback, right? Maybe a four-week injury turned into a seven-week injury.
And sticking with Giardi, that is what he said last week on afternoon.
So it turns into a seven, which I think could also turn into, say, an eight-week injury. And so you at least get your footing for these three practices, go through it like you're going to play in the game, but then come back and really ramp things up. And then, you know, give yourself a little bit of a better chance to not re-aggravate the injury. And then you still have 14 games to go. So right now it seems like, oh my God, this guy's missed a ton of time. Is it his contract? Is it a setback? Is it this, that, and whatever? But if he ends up playing the whole season, we'll look back and be like, well, he played 14 games. Like, yeah, it was a little rocky to start, but he played 14 games, and that's good. So I hope he plays, and I hope he's healthy the rest of the way, but my guess would be we don't see him until the Panther game.
So my guess is he plays this weekend, but that is not like he's soft if he doesn't play sort of thing. If he's not playing next week against Carolina, I may shift to that. He can't practice for two straight weeks, even in limited capacity. The team can't refuse to put him on IR or choose not to put him on IR. And then he doesn't play in the first 4 weeks. You could have put him on IR, had an extra roster spot, had him take his time, all these things. Mm-hmm. So to me, the Carolina game is the real game we have to circle. And if he's not back, I'll start questioning things again. But right now, if I had to guess, he's playing on Sunday. And he'll definitely play week four against Carolina. And you're right.
Yeah.
If he plays in 14 games, at the end of the year, we'll look up and say, well, it was a little sketchy there at the start. None of us were really sure what was going on. That was odd. But no harm, no foul. He played 14 games, hopefully at a high level. Yeah, we'll feel pretty good about that.
And then he'd be in line for the payday. You know, that would look at, all right, what did Sauce Gardner make? You know?
And you think...
Adjust for inflation?
You think the games played matters more than even how he plays, right, this year?
Well, no, both. I mean, he can't be, like, getting burned for touchdowns because he's out there.
But Gardner did not have a strong year last year. Played in a bunch of games, made business decisions to stay away from being overly physical. He didn't have a great year. He got paid.
So, well, no, but I would have doubts on it. If I was the Patriots, you can't just be like, hey, you were good in year two, all these executives think you're good, but we just saw you get torched all year.
Oh, I get it. You might have qualms, but I think probably the most important thing for him to actually get that payday is the games played.
Is the play, but... Like, you got to be good. You got to follow it up. We've seen firsthand, Devin McCourty was a Pro Bowl cornerback his first year. 2 years later, they had to move him to safety. So, like, just because you look really good at one point, and I'm not predicting that for Gonzalez. I'm just saying, like, we've seen guys have really good rookie years and then not so much. You know, Hunter Renfro, remember, he's a wide receiver, but remember Hunter Renfro? He was like a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, he's a mess, kind of like out of the league. So...
Yeah, he's bad. He had two touchdowns last week.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Renfro, yeah.
You got to see him play. He's played 20 games so far?
That's a man who added Hunter Renfro in a fantasy league.
That's somebody who added him in the offseason in Dynasty, and you're like, yes, I have him.
Yep.
Was it, he's played 20 games. So, like, how many more games does he play? And is he still like, oh, yeah, he's one of the five best corners? Or, well, you know, kind of had a step back. And then do we need to really make you the highest paid player at the position?
It can change on a dime. Yeah. So do we see him this weekend? Do you want him out there this weekend? How much of a difference does he make? Christian Gonzalez, how are you feeling about Pats and Steelers on Sunday? Both Keith and I are picking them in a high scoring game against Pittsburgh, which would get him to 2-1. You guys can weigh in. 617-779-7937 here on a Patriots Friday. Let's get to Drake May and our expectations for him Sunday against Pittsburgh coming up right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox dropped the series finale 5-3 to the Athletics at Fenway Park yesterday. The Sox currently a game and a half behind the Seattle Mariners for the final wildcard spot and a game and a half ahead of the Cleveland Guardians. Tonight, the Red Sox begin their final road trip of the season with game one of three-game series with the Rays in Tampa Bay. First pitch is at 7:35. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Garrett Crochet gets the start in the series opener against the Rays' Drew Rasmussen. Don't forget to tune into the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arkand at 6:35. Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Buffalo Bills got the 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins. Patriots are back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. According to multiple reports, the Pats once again have perfect attendance at practice. Steelers-Patriots kicks off from Gillette Stadium at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow afternoon, Bill Parcells and Julian Edelman will be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. The ceremony begins at 4. It's open to the public and can be streamed on Patriots.com. And the New England Revolution are in action tomorrow afternoon. The Revs will be in Philadelphia taking on the Union. Kickoff is at 2:30. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Enjoyable. He's as easy to talk to as you know anybody we have. He sees the game very, very well. The conversations you have are accurate. If you ask him a question, you're going to get the right answer. It's not maybe the best answer that we could have done, but he knows exactly what took place on the field, and he's always honest, very informative, wants to do it the right way, takes coaching extremely well.
Josh McDaniels continuing the love fest with Drake May. Keith, you were on NBC Sports Boston last night.
I sure was.
Brag on your behalf.
Yeah, thanks.
And so I guess you were asked about the relationship between May and McDaniels, which you think is
fine. I think it's good. I mean, I think obviously in these settings, I could see McDaniels kind of playing it up a little bit more. Like, I don't think he's the perfect quarterback, whatever. It kind of makes it sound that way, but it's all part of the coaching strategy. I think he's just building his guy up. That's fine.
Well, and maybe he's good cop to Vrabel's bad cop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Vrabel definitely has had some opportunities to pump up May, and I think it's good that he's not doing it too much. If McDaniels does it, that's another thing. It's coordinator, borderline position coach. So, fine. McDaniels at least has coached that position in the past. If Vrabel doesn't want to give him a game ball, if Vrabel doesn't want to be over the top in his praise, fine. I think that's good. Try to get a little bit more out of May. That's part of coaching. But I do think their relationship is pretty good. Even if McDaniels was maybe putting too much on May's plate early, I think he's responded pretty quickly. I think if there's any friction, and I think this was part of your point last night, the friction between McDaniels and Vrabel might still exist.
Yeah, sure, because Vrabel didn't pick him.
I don't think there's much between
no
McDaniels and May.
No, and if you really look at it, putting too much on somebody's plate is almost a compliment in a way, right? Where you're like, I think you can handle all this.
Yeah, good point.
And maybe you can't. Maybe we need to walk it back, or we need to do something a little bit differently. No, but I think one of the other things I sort of like discussed a little bit last night or questioned last night was, did Vrabel see the game plan from week one? And then did Vrabel step in week two and sort of force McDaniel's hand to run the offense a little bit differently?
If he did, great.
I was going to say, if he did, isn't that's that fine?
But that's given Vrabel a lot of credit for the offense that, look, in training camp, he was very hands-on with the offense. So maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't know. That's given him a lot of credit when things go right and no blame when things go wrong. Right. That's like an Alex Cora situation going on.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then also with McDaniels, if he... Let's just say that's true, and I don't even know that it is, but let's say it is true. If after just 1 week, if your offensive coordinator is not stubborn and like, well, no, we're only going to do it this way, and actually listens to it and then puts in a different game plan or does things differently for the second game, they have a lot of success, I view that as a good sign, and almost as if they're all kind of working together in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first year for those three to be together, and you look across the league, I mean – the success of teams is pretty much pinned on like those three guys in most spots. And so week one wasn't very good. Did you just keep trying to force that same thing? No, they adapted. Now, another simpler answer might just be the Raiders did a good job stopping the run, and then McDaniels stopped calling run plays, and then they weren't equipped to win that game.
So I, if we're going to be consistent, if you want to give Vrabel credit, and I don't mean you, Keith, but if you want to give Vrabel credit for like, oh, well, he must have talked to Josh and changed it around. Well, he has a headset. He could have done it in-game and been like, hey, Josh, let's mix in a few runs. I'll give McDaniels credit for this, and I'm not McDaniels' biggest fan, but I'll give him credit for it. He didn't run enough in the second half of week one. That's on him. They ran the ball three times. Being more balanced, and this is something he pledged to do during the week. He was asked last week, hey, what'd you see from your running backs week one? He's like, I got to get on the ball more. And he did. And he got all three of them. Well, I guess Henderson didn't touch the ball more, but he got all three of them involved. Gibson was more involved. Stevenson was great. Henderson wound up getting benched because of the holding, multiple holding infractions that he had. So I'll give McDaniels credit for that. And I think even if a team is limiting the run, like the Raiders were, and the Raiders, by the way, also limited the Chargers last week running. They might just have a good run defense. But that doesn't mean you only run three times. Like, you need more. You need to give the defense more to think about than that and not just let them tee off on May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I just think that, it's interesting because Vrabel had so many different offensive coordinators in Tennessee. And so I'm sure he had his overall philosophy of what he wanted to do. But he had four coordinators in 6 years. And so now in his seventh year as a head coach, he has a fifth coordinator. And I think sometimes when you look at McDaniels and some of the success that he has had, you look to Tom Brady, but he wants to run the ball too. His first year in Vegas, Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing. So like, he's more than happy, I think, to hand it off if they're having that kind of success and then kind of call plays based off of that. So I don't think that's necessarily a variable thing, right? Because, yeah, he had Derrick Henry. So they ran it. Like, some of it is going to be personnel related.
Yeah, but we brought this up before. Go back and look at Vrabel's first year. They didn't know what they had in Derrick Henry late in that year.
That's true.
Once they found out, they stuck with it.
Oh, this guy's great.
But it's not like Vrabel got to Tennessee. I think he got there Derrick Henry's third year. It's not like Vrabel got to Tennessee and was like, well, this guy's clearly better than Deion Lewis. Like,
Deion Lewis.
Him and Deion Lewis was more the running back 1A there than Henry was to start that year. It flipped.
Yep.
Vrabel rode that wave. I think he gets, you know, identified a lot with Derrick Henry and his breakout in Tennessee, and maybe he deserves some of that. But you're right. I think even if Vrabel wants to run, doesn't always know what he's looking at necessarily.
No.
I want to get into Drake May and your expectations this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think the best way I can describe my personal expectations for him is to at least split what Justin Fields and Sam Darnold did to the Pittsburgh defense the first two weekends. And those are not great quarterbacks.
No.
But my what do I expect? I'd expect the Patriots to throw somewhere between the 22 that Fields got week one and the 33 that Darnold got last week. So call it mid to high 20s.
Okay.
I'd expect somewhere in between the yardage of Fields and Darnold, 218 to 295. Fields threw a touchdown. Darnold threw two. Fields also ran for two, so maybe make and mix in a running score. Darnold turned it over a bunch as well, so let's be fair and consistent there. But I'd expect production somewhere in the middle of those two quarterbacks. But a quarterback should be able to produce, an offense should be able to produce, against this defense. So that'd be my expectation for May this week.
Yeah, I would think, you know, four scoring drives, like something along those lines. And he doesn't have to be the one throwing them all in there, but, you know, like move it down the field. And obviously you want at least two or three of those to be touchdowns. And if you're coming away with field goals and just, I don't know how long he can get a turnover-less streak going, but that was one of his issues last year. You know, there were games, some of these close games, and you look back on it, like, oh, there was a fumble there or a late interception there.
So that's a good way to put it. It's scoring drive. So the Seahawks had three touchdown drives against Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And the Jets had four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right, you should be leading to three or four touchdowns. Yeah.
And don't leave it up to your kicker. Don't be like, hey, we want to see if this guy can blast another 53-yarder. I don't know if I have the stomach for that. A lot of Andy Borregales field goal attempts, but... Yeah, between the running, it doesn't matter. Like, if he's throwing them in or wherever, yeah, we'll look at his stats at when it's all said and done. But as far as this game, they should score easy 20-plus.
Yeah, and I want to see more of May on the move. And that does not necessarily mean design runs. I'd like to see that, but I don't expect it.
Yeah.
But I want to see more rolling out, more throws on the run. And if it's there and he's gone through his progressions, I don't want him to tuck his head. And I don't really think May does this often, to be honest. I think he does a pretty good job of going through a read. More than a read, two or three reads, and then tucking and running. I actually think he's pretty good at that. I thought he was pretty good at that last year. I don't think he panics and flees the pocket. I think he goes through the progressions and then takes off if it's there. I want to see more of that. And I think last week was maybe the best. It was his best game anyway, but that was maybe the best blend of the two. And again, he could have taken off on that play to Ramondre Stevenson. He stepped up in the pocket. He could have stepped out of the pocket, kept his eyes up, and hit him down the right sideline. That, to me, is the best blend of what you want Drake May from a mobility standpoint.
What about Steph Diggs? What do you think his kind of role is this weekend? How much he plays, his production?
I wonder, and I read more into his comment from Wednesday than you did, Keith, where he's like, well, I'm just doing what I'm asked right now. And, you know, I do want to be a part of this. Like, those two little lines, and they're not inflammatory, but I know his history. I wonder if he gets peppered this week. And so I would expect... Again, this is a defense you could take advantage of. This is a defense that's given up a lot of yards and points to pretty mediocre to bad offenses. So, yeah, I'd expect the numbers to step forward, and specifically the targets. Like, he's going to get targeted more than the five last week, for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. So he does lead the team in targets with 12, so it's not a ton. I mean, he was used to getting targeted like 16 times.
So it was 7 week one and 5 last week?
Yeah, I think that was right.
I bet it's at least 8.
Yeah, but I think there's also the opportunity for that to be the right play. So it's like not just a force feed. It's not just like a, hey, let's make Steph Diggs happy. You know, Cooper Kupp, my guy, not the same player he once was, still at 7 for 90 last week. So I think, and then, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who is, you know, in his prime, he had a really good game. So I could see Diggs being a big factor there, because it was funny, you know, May mentioned I got to get him the ball more. Josh McDaniels was saying, well, I've never heard Steph Diggs ask for the ball. I'd be shocked about that. You're like, well, I'd be shocked if he didn't. I don't even think it's a bad thing. I think every top receiver should want the ball and should ask for the
ball. If he's still a top receiver, I have no problem with him asking for the ball. Yeah. If he's looking like he's looked the first couple of weeks, then I might have more of an issue with it, but yeah.
But there's also a huge difference to walking off the sideline, walking by the quarterback and being like, hey, I was open on that, and then
or it's like screaming match.
Slamming your helmet down, making a show of it. Like, I think every receiver should be like, hey, I don't know if you saw me, but I was open. I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. There are definitely grades to it.
Oh, 100%. But, I do think he has. I mean, the season high in yards was 57 from week one, so I bet it's higher than that.
Me too. Yeah. I bet it's more targets than he's had in the game. Yeah. So call it 8+. I bet it's more than the 57 yards. I bet it's more catches.
I'll take it.
And I would connect the dots to Diggs minorly, grousing about his involvement.
Just a little bit.
617-779-7937. You can jump in there. It is a Friday, a Patriots Friday. We have.
Oh yeah.
Keith's Keys to Pats and Steelers at 1 o'clock. Mike and Wenu are going to join us on a Patriots Friday at 1:15-ish, so stay tuned for it. On the way next, the Week in Review.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keefe?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, we're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, time for our Week in Review here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. What a week it has been, Jones. Star-studded week. Jam-packed.
Yeah, I called it guest-heavy earlier.
Guest-heavy.
Star-studded is the way to refer to it. Yes.
Including Monday's guest, Patriots tight end Hunter Henry.
Okay, you guys won last week, so you're 1-0 with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. You know we're bringing it back. Let's hit it.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
Allie, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, Hunter, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised ever, 1 being not surprised at all, how surprised were you when Destiny's Child broke up?
Good Lord, I was young, man. I was so young when that happened.
1 to 85?
1 to 85. Let's go 45.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Wow, more surprised than the ending of The Sixth Sense. So I was just going to say that.
Sure was.
So he was a 40 for the ending of The Sixth Sense, a 45 for when Destiny's Child broke up. We're going to have to figure out what really truly surprises that man.
Yeah, we don't know. So far, very much in the middle.
Yeah, so tune in Monday.
Yeah, we got another one for him.
We'll cook something up.
I'm not sure Hunter Henry loves the show necessarily, but we do know that Jeff loves the show.
Hello, Jeff.
Yes, why don't you allow your callers to have a conversation?
I don't know. What's the conversation? What's the conversation you want to have? What is it?
How do they start?
Well, you won't allow your callers to have a conversation.
What do you want to have a conversation about, Jeff? I'm asking you.
Is this the conversation? Are we in it right now?
Yeah, we're in it right now.
It's going great.
You know, the callers say something, you cut them off.
Your show,
your ratings suck.
Oh, they do?
Come on, Jeff.
What's the question, Jeff? Or what's the conversation you'd like to have?
Yeah, you guys had a chance at the big time. And first of all...
This is the big time. What do you mean a chance at the big time? This is the big time. What's bigger than 10 to 2?
You had drive time, and you lost it.
Well, that's true.
I'll tell you why you lost it.
Why's that?
Because you're arrogant and you're pompous.
No, not us.
And you're not likable. You're not likable people. Neither one of you.
Right. Why did you wait on hold to talk to us?
That's not incorrect. Any O-line thoughts while we're having a conversation, Jeff, or no? Or is that it?
You sound very fun.
Let's talk about the offensive line.
With you?
Why would we do that? Let's hear it. What do you want to say?
2,000 years later.
Stop talking among yourselves.
What's well, a talk show, Jeff? It's a talk show, Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, take more calls and have a conversation.
Well, if the calls go as well as this, then we'll have to take more calls.
Hey, Jeff.
If you took more calls, you've had better calls because you have a lot of dumb callers because nobody's listening.
We're adding to the list, Jeff. I agree. But okay, so Jeff, don't be a stranger. We'll talk again soon, okay? This is a good conversation.
Yeah, this is good. This is enlightening. There you go. There's Jeff.
I do like the take more calls.
But your calls are terrible.
Because a lot of your calls, he didn't say this, but I'll say this for him, including myself.
Yeah.
Are terrible.
Got it.
But we did have our shot at the big time, Keith.
We did.
Yeah.
I think this is big.
I think
this is a big enough time.
I think we're still on quite an upset course going beyond a year with this program.
It's true. Yeah. 1 year plus.
Yeah.
We celebrated the anniversary 3 weeks ago.
And counting. Yeah.
That's right. A new friend of the show, Jeremy Piven, the star of Very Bad Things, Old School, Entourage, many of the TV shows and movies.
Mm-hmm. Comedy sequel Rush Hour 2, which
correct,
didn't make either of our list. Yes, yes.
He's at the Wilbur tonight. You can check him out at the Wilbur tonight, but he was in with us on Wednesday.
I'm just a journeyman actor that puts everything I have into my roles, and I had a
an actor, and I won't name who it is, but come up to me, a really good actor, and go, mate, you want to do a little Charlie in the bathroom, a little bit of, you know.
Russell Crowe?
No, that's not. No, Russell did come up to me, and I'll tell you that story in a minute.
Okay. Crocodile Dundee?
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No. And he goes, come on, mate. What do you say, a little bit of little Charlie? And I'm like, I don't do blow. And he goes, oh, mate, I've seen you do blow, mate. Come on, a little bit of the old nose candy. And I go, no, bro, I don't do blow. I go, did you see very bad? No, sorry. Did you see Smoking Aces?
Smoking Aces, another great one.
And he's like, yeah, man, I saw that. I go, did you think that? He goes, yeah. I go, you're a really good actor. We were snorting powdered vitamin C. You know that. It was, he's like, oh, mate. God. And so yeah, that's how believable you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so believable that I was a drug addict.
Yeah, you're going crazy
and
in that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was wearing colored contacts that make the eyes red. I mean, that's what we do. We pretend for a living. But the fact that this guy was convinced was, it blew me away. And there's a really big compliment in there, and I appreciate it.
Very good. You can check out the whole interview. Go back through on the Odyssey app, the Jeremy Piven interview.
We played a guessing game as to who he was talking about. He may or may not have let a name slip in there.
Yeah, these guys picked Billy and Nick.
Which
picked
Nick
right
and
up
Billy
on
picked
it.
Right up on it. Yeah, exactly. But okay. I'm not a big drug guy, Keith Bragg. He said,
look at you, Healthy Jones, they call him. Look at me. Jeez, say no to drugs, square. Jones.
He said, no, seriously. Nerd. He said Charlie a couple of times there. I've not heard it referred to that way.
Yes,
I'm on
have.
Crack.
No. Yes, you have. You never heard it called
Charlie?
Uncle Charlie?
You want to go snort a little Charlie?
I've not heard.
If that makes me a square, I guess it makes me.
I guess
I've not
it
heard,
does.
I've not heard it referred to that
what
way.
What a loser.
You smoke crack, don't you?
I'm more of a crack guy, as you can tell. Yeah, I'm not a straight, just Charlie. In the
We had an opportunity to talk about some old baseball players earlier this week. Wasn't a random player, but it really should have been.
Let me give you some information from the past and see if you can explain it.
Great. Okay.
Last season in Major League Baseball, there were 28 complete games. In 1 year of his career, Bob Gibson had 28 complete games.
In 1884, Old Hoss Radburn had 73 complete games.
How about that?
So every time he got it, he closed the game out.
Bob Gibson, kind of a wuss by comparison, actually.
11 shutouts. Do you know how many innings, Brendan, that Old Hoss Radburn pitched in 1884? 678 and two-thirds.
It was a bit of a different game than with the dead ball and all that.
Yeah, it was the dead ball. I agree. So
Old Hoss that year?
Yeah.
60 wins. You think anybody's going to top that?
I mean,
he had 60 wins.
If you're going to go to Bob Gibson, you might as well go to Old Hoss Radburn.
You know what his last thing on Old Hoss Radburn?
Yeah, okay.
You know what his WAR was that year?
10.
19.2.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Over the last century.
Rather be golfing. Did he have a war or was he fighting in a war? Good point.
Well,
a lot of these guys also did both. They'd throw a complete game, fight some war.
Well, back then, he might have gone to like three different wars.
He might have been in any of the wars.
Yeah, Old Hoss might have been in the Civil War.
I was going to say,
I shudder to think of which side he was on, but he might have been there.
I'm not going to ask him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask him.
Please don't.
Yeah.
And then
it turned into a whole thing.
I mean, he could have World War I's in play. I don't think
he was making 1812. He might have been kicking around in. Old Hoss. Always going to talk about Old Hoss.
It's amusing to hear. Is it Radborn or Radburn?
Old Hoss Radburn.
Born.
Burn?
Born.
Nick?
Like the identity, I think. That was
Born identity?
We were both definitely saying it differently. I don't know which is which. Is he Burn?
Old Hoss Rad. I think it's Burn.
Burn.
Nope.
Born. There we go. I like that you didn't shortchange him.
His name was Charles, but they called him Old Hoss.
I like
did
that you
die at 42.
You didn't shortchange him on the two-thirds of the inning, too, which I appreciate.
No, I wanted to tell the whole story.
You gave him full credit for all of those outs, yeah.
We mentioned how it was star-studded. Hunter Henry, Jeremy Piven, and yesterday we had a chance in the flesh to speak with the one and only Hogdale.
Amazing.
He, of course, is the Hogdale Call of the Night that we feature in Grab Bag after Red Sox wins, which sadly have been few and far between recently. But we got to the bottom of how he came up with the name Hogdale.
So is Hogdale a birth name, a nickname? How did you get the name Hogdale? Or if there's an air of mystery to it, you don't have to tell us, but did you come up with Hogdale?
Well, I didn't come. It was my dad. My dad, it's what he calls all of his brothers. It's actually because
Hogdale? He calls all of his brothers Hogdale?
You guys are at a family reunion and you're like, what's up, Hogdale? Hey, I need a burger there, Hogdale. Who's cooking the hot dogs, Hogdale?
It's actually because my uncle was in jail in Missouri.
Okay.
He went to go, my dad went to go bail him out the jail guard there mispronounced his name as Hogdale. He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
That's a much better answer than I would have guessed.
So, yeah, since then, he calls all his brothers Hogdale and me Hogdale.
Wow.
All the males in the family were Hogdale.
How many Hogdale brothers are there?
Your
uncles, I guess. His brothers, yeah.
I had four uncles, I believe, and a sister, an aunt as well. And then
what do they call
I have
her?
A younger brother.
Hogmam.
Hogmam.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like the Anthony situation.
It is.
Roman Anthony's got a family full of Anthonys. You have a family full of Hogdales.
Yeah,
bunch
That's
of excellent.
That's excellent.
There's a ton of Hogdales. He's Hogdale _, but then there's a bunch of other Hogdales.
Well, I'm sure one of his uncles already took
pounced on it,
squatting on the other handle. I'd imagine. Yeah, yeah. That's why he has the _.
But, all right, very good. Yeah. All right, Jones. We have three nominees for the brag of the week. So listen closely.
I'm a really old guy.
Sick brag, bro.
Yep. Well,
so we go way back.
Sick brag, bro.
All right, went for the twofer there.
The old double old man brag, okay.
Yep.
I've been potting since 2021.
Sick brag, bro.
We had to brag Hogdale. He's been podcasting since 2021.
Potting. Yeah, not like.
What did you think he said?
Well, it sounded like potting, but I knew what he was saying.
Pogging?
No, potting.
Oh.
You know, making pots. Like in Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go make a clay pot. All right, and then lastly,
you know, I'm an actor.
Sick brag, bro.
In a stand-up.
Sick brag, bro.
And I wore my voice up.
Sick brag, bro.
I train every day.
Sick brag, bro.
I try to figure out how to be the best version of myself.
Sick brag, bro.
Wow. That's a record.
I don't know if we're going to have an opportunity of star-studded weeks again.
Oh, my gosh. That's a record.
Brag them all.
Not even. He just body bagged Bradford there. Five?
Bradford and Hart are like impressed. Like, wow.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
We might have to go Piven.
The old five-leg parlay there. Wow.
Or do you like the old guy?
No, I think we got to go
Piven.
I think we got to go Piven. Yeah. 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 Unless Hogdale was saying potting, in which case that's very erotic.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Go on.
But yeah, no, I think Jeremy Piven gets the brags of the week.
Very good.
By the way, you can check him out at the Wilbur tonight.
That's right.
If you are in the market for something to do tonight, you can go check him out as part of his U.S. national tour. So good stuff there all week here on Jones and Keefe. Patriots Friday, as we wrap up the week, we're going to talk to Mike Onwenu. Call it 15, 20 minutes from now. 1:15 is when he's scheduled to join us. And also, you hear that?
Oh, I hear it.
We got the keys, Keefe's keys, to Pats and Steelers next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.